Good morning. How's everybody? I'm in the forest. I'm back. It's Brian of London. I'm in the forest in Tel Aviv. Bereshit Forest in the beginning. I put out a quick video yesterday, a bit of a droney, where I was talking about PewDiePie. But want to get back to my regular schedule. This, of course, is live on Periscope, but first place, and the only place that will be posted for a while, will be 3Speak. The number 3Speak.online, which is, of course, the video sharing site that I am committed to because I part own it, because it's built on crypto, and I'm getting rewarded for my posts. I actually get cash, real, comes in the form of crypto. If I want, I could sell it, and but at the moment I'm investing in the Steam platform, so everything I earn stays as Steam, whose price is right now at an all-time low. But I think that that's just indicative of good things to come. Anyway, Tommy Robinson was released last Friday. Friday before, a week ago today, which was such good news. And it was so good to hear from him behind the scenes and to see what he's posting in public again. And of course, he comes out into the usual maelstrom of death threats and the police not really doing enough about it. And he handles it in his own way. What can I say? That's who he is. I mean, the demonization has continued. The sort of, what did I see a quote from the Norwegian or something? Someone comparing him to the Serbian guy or the Bosnian guy, Radko Mladic. I mean, really, just insane stuff. People who led armies that may or may not have engaged in massacres. It's like, Tommy's punched a couple of people, usually in self-defense. Anyway, I'm very glad he's out. I'm very much looking forward to seeing what he does next. It's that he was put inside prison for what he did, for talking about a live court case. It's a stain on British legal system. They don't know what to do with him. They thought that shutting down Facebook for him and Twitter and all of these things would destroy his appeal. And it doesn't seem to have made any difference. In fact, it's grown. And you know, while he was in prison, yeah, the numbers tailed off on his Telegram group. You know, we lost a few tens, twenties here and there. I think it was down a couple of hundred from the position that it was in. But it's already gone way past it. So he's picking up new people again. And this is the point, this deplatforming, and this will bring me on to what's going on with YouTube now, and all of these platforms. You can't trust them. If you've been working your butt off giving content to Zuckerberg or to Sundar Pichai and the team at YouTube, and you've really worked to build an audience for yourself on their sites, none of that. You don't own any of that. You will lose it all. And I saw last night they started mailing out to a whole load of YouTube, big YouTube channels. Abby Yemeni's friend in Australia, I saw, got a note saying she's no longer a verified user. She doesn't meet the requirements. Essentially, what's going on is what I said way back when, which is what Adam Curry said was going to happen. It's really commercial. It's more commercial, I think, than anti-conservative. But it will be anti-conservative in nature. But it's commercial. It's this move towards brand safety. They know where the money is. And look, running video sites is technically complicated. Now, YouTube have such a head start on everybody. We've all got smart TVs now in our houses. They all come with a YouTube app installed. There's no other video service that has got that app on every Samsung or LG TV. It's very hard for a startup now to rise to that level. We don't all have you know, other apps installed on our phones. You have to run it in the browser. There are advantages to that for some, but it's not as easy as YouTube. But we're going to have to push past that. That's why I'm uploading to ThreeSpeak. I'm in touch with the guys who've set it up. I see their roadmap. I see what they're doing. I have to pay to use the service. I must pay them $2 or $3 a month to use the service. If I want to encode more than 2 hours, I have to pay a little bit more. But the payment system is all built on a crypto wallet that's built into the service. When people like my videos, I get some crypto money. So when it comes a month later to pay for my subscription, it's just out of money I already earned on those videos. It's not, there's no barrier to doing it. And the advantage that I know is that if I'm paying for the service, it's mine. I use it. And I know their roadmap. Their roadmap is to decentralize the storage of the videos, which is the other very important component that very few sites have managed to pull off. I understand the tech by which they're doing this. I think it's a very good solution. I can't really say more about the technicals of it, but they know what needs to be done. And what needs to be done is that they, ThreeSpeak, the people running ThreeSpeak, they want to be running a service where they can bulk collect advertising, but passing the money on in much larger part than Google does to the creators. But they don't want to be responsible for, they want to be a true platform. They don't want to hold the keys to censorship. They will obviously have to respond to legal takedown notices in certain jurisdictions. But even then, because in the end it will be a decentralized system, that might hide content from certain front ends, but it won't actually remove the content. And this is what people like the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, who I spoke about yesterday in reference to PewDiePie, and all of these censorious groups, ultimately all the way up to the UN, you know, which wants to impose global censorship in line with the blasphemy laws of the Organization of Islamic Conference cooperation that rule them. These people who are coming with these censorship solutions, what all they've done is they've created a large amount of activity in a sphere of making it very hard to pull down content. Bitcoin is the decentralized money that it's hard to stop. You can't impose sanctions on Bitcoin. You cannot stop anybody with a computer opening it up, running a Bitcoin client, and being part of Bitcoin. You can't stop this. You can block ports. There'll be a way around those. You can, unless you block the internet, you can't block that. And the same thing will happen to speech when it is delivered via Web 3.0 sites. Already on Steam, you know, when I write stuff, when a video of mine goes up on ThreeSpeak, it is posted to the Steam blockchain. The description that I write about is part of the video. That part's written to the Steam blockchain. Now, Steam It, which is the sort of company that invented Steam and started it, they could block access to one post. But then there's Busy.org and SteamPeak. There's dozens of other front ends. And in the end, you can also download the raw Steam software and look at everything on the blockchain. There's no way to revoke that content. Now, some people give that as a disadvantage of a blockchain-based social network, because what about child pornography and so on? Actually, with more than 50% consensus of all of the nodes on the network, yes, you can delete something. But in practice, we're heading towards a time where I don't believe that there are authorities who I would trust with the power to regulate speech anywhere in the world. And look, on ThreeSpeak, there's an Arab chap posting stuff from Syria, and he posts anti-Israel propaganda. He posts videos where there was a shooting at Kalandia Crossing of a 50-year-old woman who came at the security guards with a knife. You know, this is the Israeli story. A 50-year-old woman approached carrying a knife, wouldn't put it down. They shot her. And the video he's posted is actually just after she's been shot. One of the guards sort of cautiously goes up to her, kicks the knife away from her foot. Now, in the video, you can't see the details of the knife, but if one looks at the feed of the Israeli police force, you can see close-up of the knife and so on. I mean, listen, if you don't want to believe that Arabs sometimes pull out knives and attack soldiers at checkpoints or security guards at checkpoints, there's nothing I can do for you. So this guy's posting on ThreeSpeak. ThreeSpeak is a site I'm working on as well. I don't need his stuff to be taken down. I can put a comment underneath it and say this is bullshit. That's the best we can do. We can't stop the world saying things we don't want to hear or we don't like or that are untrue. We can't do that. People have and always will lie. People have and always will spread malicious, hateful stuff. The solution is to drown that out with truth, to drown it out with answers, with the correct point of view. Censorship is wrong. So a couple of words about crazy Israeli politics. We had another election here, second one in this year. We had one in April that ended in deadlock. We had one now that's ended in deadlock again. Perhaps Likud has gone down a little bit. Blue and white has come up. But I mean, just so you understand, a lot of blue and white people came from the edges of Likud, or that there's actually a general consensus in Israeli politics. And politically, other than the fact that I think blue and white have a tendency to be too Western lefty liberal, and Likud don't have that too much, the two are not that far apart, except on personality. Likud ran on this anything but Bibi platform, which is going to make joining the two together very hard. Then we've got 13 seats going to the joint Arab list. The joint Arab list is what everybody's figured out with the Israeli politics system. What happened was a few years back, there was a change to the system. It used to be that almost if you got enough votes for one Knesset seat, you could be in the Knesset. But then what they did was they said you had to get just over 3%, enough to get 4 seats in the Knesset. And that this threshold has changed everything. So what happened is smaller parties have joined together. That's what happened on the right as well, with the party that Ayelet Shaked led on the new right. So in order to be electable, smaller parties have joined together. We've still got two big religious Jewish blocks, which is one is an Ashkenazi block, one is a non-Ashkenazi religious. Together, they're my problem with them is that they're too often socialist sort of handout type tendencies. But on the other hand, they've also blocked some stupid illiberal stuff, you know, sort of bans on plastic plates, just the kind of lefty European nonsense that we haven't been fully infected with here. All in all, is Bibi going to be the prime minister going forward? I'm not sure. Maybe there'll be some kind of sharing agreement where he is for a while and then Gantz. Look, I don't like Gantz very much. I think he's shady. I think he's not very bright. I don't think he was a great general. I've got personal issues with him. I don't want to see Israel led by someone which doesn't have an international presence, or can't speak English, can't negotiate with Trump properly. So it's a bit confusing right now. But I mean, you know, don't believe anybody who tells you they know what's going to happen here. Nobody knows. There are some good people to follow on Twitter. I retweet the best of them. Follow me on Twitter and you'll be as informed as anyone else, but you won't know what's happening next. That's for sure. None of us do. But from a defense and a security point of view and of a giving things in to the Arabs, I don't see us heading in a disastrous direction, except that I do hope, you know, unbeknownst to most people, because it's covered up because you just don't get this news, there have been a couple more explosions in Damascus. And I think if I've learned anything from this attack on the Saudi oil fields, which I'm inclined to believe, you know, that it was Iranian drones and cruise missiles launched from Iran, which is very brazen. That stuff, that tech is all pointed at us too. And I think what I've learned is that these attacks that have gone off in Syria and Lebanon recently, traced, you know, which many claim are Israel. I suspect that we are being absolutely ruthless at preventing a capability like what hit Saudi Arabia from being installed in either Syria or Lebanon. I hope that's the case, because, you know, whilst we cope with the annoying rockets from Gaza, I mean, there was an attack last week, which you didn't hear about, where four or five missiles were launched from Gaza. None of them left the Gaza Strip. In fact, they caused injuries in the Gaza Strip. So these Gaza missiles falling short, injuring Palestinians in Gaza. You don't hear about it. Your news is not interested in telling you that story. The Syrian Arab guy doesn't make posts about Palestinians shooting other Palestinians whilst missing Jews. You don't hear about that. You will only hear when we retaliate. So I hope that we come up with a reasonable government. I'm also all for constructive and new solutions to what's going on in Judea and Samaria. We have to really assert our control over this. We're not leaving. It's not a matter of facts on the ground. We should never have been forced out of it in 1948. That was the problem. The illegal Jordanian occupation from 48 to 67 was the big problem. Had that not occurred, had we not lost control of that land during the War of Independence, you know, we'd be in a very, very different situation. And the last thing I'll say is last night I was at Tel Aviv University at a science, you know, thing for kids, showing them bits of chemistry, and somebody, you know, some students there had built a drone battery replacement system and racing cars and self-driving cars and just stuff for the kids to look at and do. And Tel Aviv University is cosmopolitan. I tell you, I would say that a good 15% of the people there, not just students, but the students and the visitors and the kids, were Arab. 15%, maybe higher. Hijabs, headscarves, young Arab, you know, 15, 16, 17 year olds. I can tell because I'm hearing them speaking Arabic, Hebrew, just a total mixture. And nobody says a thing. We had the elections. 13 out of 120 seats go to Arab parties. You know, one of the Arab parties is entirely revoltingly anti-Zionist. They want to destroy the country. They're in the Knesset. I mean, I think that that's insane. Right? But a couple of the other Arab parties are a bit more moderate and good on them. And this is the thing to say, and they are Israeli Arabs, not Palestinian Israeli. They are Israeli Arabs. There are Arabs living in territories occupied and controlled by the Palestinian Authority. I'll call them Palestinians sometimes. Living in shittier, far shittier conditions than those who get to vote in our elections and are full citizens of the country. The nation state law is really totally unimportant in anybody's day-to-day lives. It's just an affirmation of a real fact, which is this is the Jewish land of Israel. Anyway, look for this on 3Speak later. I might even go fly my drone one more time and combine this audio with some different drone pictures. I hope you're all having a good time, and Shabbat Shalom, and all my best to Tommy Robinson, and we'll see what comes from him in the future. Thanks very much for watching, and catch you all the next time. Shabbat Shalom. Bye.